Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
And happy Friday. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Friday. I'm your host, Jay Cruz, and got a lot to look at today. We're going to take a look at the a bit of news in the sporting world before we kind of break down a little bit of activity over the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, some of the players involved in that game, and a couple of my fantasy teams. We'll take a look at the NFL and the Hard Knocks program that's currently running on HBO, and a look at the New York Giants, some of their negotiations, and some of the other teams, and what's happening with rookies and free agents in the NFL, as we're a couple weeks from training camps opening and a couple of weeks from fantasy football drafts beginning. If you're in a new league, you want to pay attention. If you're in a keeper league, you want to pay attention as well, as there will be some keepers, there'll be some salary cap leagues, and an exciting season if you are starting a new team, because there are a number of young quarterbacks that give you a bigger, better possibility of drafting a quarterback maybe as a backup and having a solid player for the future. Also, a couple other talented wide receivers coming up in the draft, and a lot of change with new coaches and new places, and a lot to get to. As you know, once football starts, it's whew, and then next thing you know, it's February and time for catchers and pitchers to report. Major League Baseball, of course, is still happening. The All-Star break means the second half of the season is on the way. And a little bit of break from basketball, although watching the Olympics will be a great chance to check out a lot of your fantasy players, especially Team USA, but a lot of other teams with a lot of other talented players, especially in Europe, France, Serbia. They've got some NBA players as well. So let's get started. In other sporting news, NFL training camp is right around the corner, and after a long off-season of contract negotiations that have yet to yield any lucrative extensions, San Francisco 49ers wide receiver Brandon Ayuk has officially requested a trade, according to league sources. Sources blabbed that information to ESPN's Adam Schefter on Tuesday that other teams have been reached out to the 49ers and have told the team has no intention of trading him. Ayuk's request comes a week before veterans are slated to report to the Niners training camp, and about 3 weeks after Ayuk and the Niners met in Santa Clara to discuss the situation. NFL Network was the first to report the request. With 1 year remaining on his rookie contract, Ayuk has been seeking a big money extension in line with those of other wideouts who have earned deals this offseason, such as Philadelphia Eagles' A.J. Brown, Detroit Lions' Amon-Ra St. Brown, Eagles' Devontae Smith, and Miami Dolphins' Jalen Waddle. Ayuk is 26 and set to make $14 million this year, the fifth and final year of his rookie contract. Well, if you caught the home run derby, or if not, you've probably seen the viral national anthem that was sang after a widely panned performance of the U.S. national anthem at the Major League Baseball Home Run Derby. Country singer Ingrid Andres apologized Tuesday and said she was drunk, and went on to say, "I'm checking myself into a facility today to get the help I need," she posted on social media. "That was not me last night. I apologize to MLB, all the fans, and this country I love so much for that rendition." Major League Baseball is not commenting. Spokesperson Matt Bourne said a representative for Andreas said there will be no additional comment at this time. Andreas, 32, is the daughter of former Major League strength and conditioning coach Brad Andreas, who worked for the Detroit Tigers, Colorado Rockies, and the New York Mets. Ingrid Andreas has been nominated for 4 Grammys, including Best New Artist in 2021. On Monday night, Andreas belted a a cappella version of the Star Spangled Banner, an incredibly challenging song to sing. Clips of her less than popular rendition at Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas have since made the rounds on social media. If you see it, I wouldn't bother listening to it very long. It's as bad as they say. Former NBA player Joe Jellybean Bryant, the father of Hall of Famer Kobe Bryant, has died at the age of 69. An official cause of Jellybean Bryant's death was not announced as of Tuesday morning. LaSalle University, where Bryant played and coached, said in a statement that Bryant was a beloved member of the Explorer family and will be dearly missed. Longtime Philadelphia area basketball coach Fran Dunphy, who currently is the head coach at LaSalle, told the Philadelphia Inquirer that Bryant recently suffered a massive stroke. Joe Bryant seldom appeared in public after Kobe Bryant's death in a helicopter crash in 2020. The former LA Lakers superstar told ESPN in 2010 that Joe was the great basketball mind and credited his father with teaching him from an early age how to view the game, how to prepare for the game, and how to execute. Joe Bryant played and coached professionally both in the United States and internationally after starring at LaSalle, where he averaged 20.8 points per game in two seasons with the Explorers. He was a first-round draft selection of the Golden State Warriors in 1975 before being acquired later that year by his hometown Philadelphia 76ers. Joe Jellybean Bryant was a local basketball icon whose legacy on the court transcended his journey across Bartram High School, LaSalle University, and his first four NBA seasons with the 76ers from 1975 through 1979, the Sixers said in a statement. Our condolences go out to the Bryant family. Lionel Messi is likely to miss at least the next two matches for Inter Miami Football Club after injuring his right ankle during the Copa America final, Miami coach Gerardo Tata Martino said on Tuesday. Coach Martino said Messi will have further testing to determine the severity of the injury, but he did not want to speculate on whether it would be a long-term injury. Inter Miami will host Toronto FC Wednesday night and the Chicago Fire on Saturday night. Messi, who is 37, tearfully exited Argentina's 1-0 win over Colombia in Sunday's Copa America final after going down in the 64th minute. He immediately looked to the Argentina bench and was down for a couple of minutes before taking off his right boot and walking slowly off the field. He was then shown covering his face, sobbing in his seat. Cameras later showed him on the bench with a badly swollen right ankle. And other aftermath over the European Championship, Gareth Southgate has resigned as England manager following their Euro 2024 final defeat to Spain, the English Football Association confirmed on Tuesday. Southgate's contract was due to expire in December, and although sources told ESPN that the FA wanted him to continue through the 2026 World Cup, Southgate opted to walk away after 8 years as England's manager. Southgate, 53, played 57 times for England and took charge of 102 games as manager. Only Walter Winterbottom, at 139, and Sir Alf Ramsey, at 113, coached England more often. After taking charge in 2016, he guided England to the 2018 World Cup semifinals, the Euro 2020 final, and the World Cup 2024 quarterfinals before they reached their first major final on foreign soil in Germany. Southgate began work with the FA as head of elite development in 2011, and since replacing Sam Allardyce 5 years later, he has been widely credited with overhauling the culture of the England squad and reconnecting the team with supporters. Southgate signed off his message by declaring, "We are the best fans in the world, and their support has meant the world to me. I'm an England fan, and I always will be." Sources told ESPN that Eddie Howe, Graham Potter, and Mauricio Pochettino are among the leading candidates to replace Southgate. In the aftermath of the Major League Baseball All-Star, or not really aftermath, but some of the headlines, it was a night where Paul Skenes, Major League Baseball's pitching phenom, towed the rubber for a historic All-Star game start. Shohei Ohtani, the game's biggest global superstar, demolished a home run for the National League, and a 27-year-old former top prospect enjoying a breakout season, who was the difference at the 2024 All-Star Game Tuesday. Boston Red Sox center fielder Jarren Duran, who I'm happy to say is on one of my fantasy teams, first-time All-Star in his second season as an everyday player, completed the American League's comeback in a 5-3 victory at Globe Life Field in Texas with a two-run homer off Cincinnati Reds pitcher Hunter Green. With the blast, Duran became the first Red Sox player since J.D. Drew back in 2008, and the fifth in franchise history to earn the game's MVP award, named after Ted Williams, a 19-time All-Star and the consensus greatest player in Red Sox history. Now, this story kind of warms my heart because little would anyone in the planet know, except for me and my friend growing up, on the back of baseball cards, one of the year's series had different little trivia riddles for baseball history, and one of the questions was, whose 1941 All-Star Game home run won the All-Star Game for the American League? And we kept pulling that card, and it came up so often that it became a running joke, and each and every time we read it with a straight face or maybe a giggle, the answer is always Ted Williams. So when I heard this story the other night and the Ted Williams story came up, I just had to share that. And some other news in the rosters coming up as the second half is getting ready to start. Major League Baseball veteran left-hander Dallas Keuchel elected to become a free agent Wednesday, as the Brewers Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported, after he was designated DFA for assignment by the Milwaukee Brewers Sunday and cleared waivers. Now, Milwaukee acquired him, Keuchel, a 36-year-old, in a deal with the Mariners on June 25th, and added to the starting rotation after a number of injuries to the starting staff. In four starts with Milwaukee this season, Keuchel had a 5.4 ERA in 16 and two-thirds innings without a decision. In 13 Major League seasons, the 2015 American League Cy Young Award winner with the Astros is 103-92 with a 4.04 ERA and 282 appearances. So he is now a free agent. And Major League Baseball also had its draft a few days ago, picking up players mostly from college and some high school players. And a three-day draft concluded Tuesday, with the 30 teams blazing through 300 picks in less than 3.5 hours. Some draftees with familiar last names were selected on the final day, which consisted of rounds 11 through 20. The Angels took outfielder Lucas Ramirez in the 17th round. Ramirez is the son of 12-time All-Star Manny Ramirez. The Boston Red Sox used their pick in the 19th round to select D'Angelo Ortiz, the son of Hall of Famer Big Poppy slugger David Ortiz. In the 20th round, the Toronto Blue Jays took USC shortstop Bryce Martin Grudziliak, who is the son of All-Star Mark Grudziliak. And the Oakland A's opened the afternoon by selecting Texas Tech right-handed pitcher Kyle Robinson with the first pick of the 11th round. And that set off 10 rounds worth of selection, separated by approximately 45 seconds per pick, until the Texas Rangers took junior college catcher Mac Rose with the last selection of the 20th round. Australian second baseman Travis Bazzano was taken by the Cleveland baseball team with a number one pick on Sunday. Right-hand pitcher Drew Beam, who pitched a team-high 102 and a third innings for Tennessee's College World Series winning pitching staff, was one of the first picks on Monday, which featured rounds 3 through 10. When the draft finished, Major League Baseball's 30 teams will begin contract negotiation with said draft picks. Those with remaining college eligibility may sign until August 1st at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, with the remainder having until a week before the 2025 draft. For those paying close attention to the college baseball draft, I'm going to have to take a look at those prospects and kind of see who's there and get them ready for next year's amateur draft in my Fantasy Baseball League. So those are a few things currently happening at the Sporting Life News in a little bit of the baseball All-Star break, and taking a look at the All-Star game. home run derby was won by L.A. Dodger outfielder Teoscar Hernandez. And, yeah, kind of cool. He's on one of my fantasy teams. Had him for a couple seasons last year. He was a bit of a surprise, having a great season with the Seattle Mariners, who went down to the wire last couple games in a, I think it was a weekend series against either the Astros or the Rangers, and the Mariners didn't do so good. Therefore, Texas and Houston both ended up in the division championship and wild card positions, and of course, Texas went on to win the entire World Series. But Hernandez was kind of a under-the-radar signing by the LA Dodgers when they, of course, they won the Shohei Ohtani sweepstakes and picked him up from the Anaheim Angels. Los Angeles Angels, I call them Anaheim because that's the city they actually play in. It's not Los Angeles, it's a different county, it's Orange County, but nonetheless. And he won the home run derby, which was a very interesting and cool thing. Now, there's a lot of players who didn't participate who may or may not have won, but Teoscar Hernandez, certainly a talented player, and had been pretty red hot recently for the LA Dodgers. Shohei Ohtani, of course, he homered in the All-Star game, and we all pretty much expected that, and probably would have won the home run derby. He's still kind of recovering from his elbow surgery, the Tommy John, which is not why he's not a two-way player this year. Will remain to be seen if he does pitch again. If he does, I almost would kind of wouldn't mind seeing Ohtani come out of the bullpen in situations, but that would sort of make the designated hitter position a little strange. The only other time has been that is about a week or so ago. The Dodgers are getting crushed by the Philadelphia Phillies, who are currently the best team in baseball, the only team with over 60 wins, 62 at the All-Star break. Philadelphia with a three-game sweep. They're winning by like 10 runs. The Dodgers kind of threw in the towel. We're pulling out starters. And Kike Hernandez, they're very talented, very inspirational, and sometimes more clutch than people realize, came in and mopped up, I think, the eighth and the ninth inning and was just kind of grooving pitches over the plate at about 60 miles an hour, 80 miles an hour. Certainly not the normal major league fastball speed, but nonetheless, he came in and kind of mopped up that game against the Phillies. But they had to take out the DH in that particular game, which was Ohtani. So he naturally homered. And, you know, some of the other players in the game, like the guy who won the MVP, Jarret Duran, outfielder of the Boston Red Sox, with a two-run homer late in the game to put up the American League and give them a victory. Teoscar Hernandez and Paul Skenes, rookie of the Pittsburgh Pirates, who started the game and went pretty well, who is a phenomenal pitcher. Just people are going, well, he's on the Pirates. You know, what are we going to do? Maybe the Pirates can turn things around with him and some other talented players on that team. They're not in the toughest division, but yeah, they are. They're behind the Philadelphia Phillies. Nonetheless, those three players are all on one of my teams in fantasy baseball. I had a great trade offer earlier in the season. Michael Harris III, Atlanta Braves outfielder and a very talented player, young player who's also signed for quite a bit in the future with the Atlanta Braves, a long extension. I think he's a Brave to like 2027 or 29, something like that. He's had moments where he's struggled, hasn't lit the league on fire at times, and other times he's been red hot. Anyway, a guy who turned out to be a new owner and replacement owner, and actually both of the leagues I'm in, offered me a trade in my keeper league for Michael Harris III. And I didn't really want to make the trade because Harris is a guy I've had for a couple seasons. I've kept him along, and I have him at a low draft position. However, the other manager offered up Paul Skenes, rookie phenomenon, who also was a free agent pickup and comes with a very low draft position. So that's someone who is highly sought after in the keeper league, meaning I get to draft 24 rounds before his round comes up. And Duran of the Red Sox, who, you know, is another young outfielder, similar to Harris in numbers being put up. And I thought, well, I get to replace Harris. I still have another center fielder. I had kept Harris and ended up drafting Jazz Chisholm, who hasn't put up as good a numbers, but has been playing fairly well this season, better than he has in the past because he does have a bit of an injury situation. But a two-for-one deal, essentially replacing Harris with an outfielder literally just as good, if maybe not better, and Paul Skenes, a guy who, quite honestly, if he stays healthy, which is a big if when considering pitchers in today's modern baseball world, and just the velocity they throw at and the proliferation of the Tommy John surgery and how it seems like nearly every pitcher seems to have that happen at some point. There's probably a lot of owners who are a little shy about making a trade to pick up Paul Skenes. However, I figured, yeah, what the heck. It was a pretty good trade, and very happy to see Duran has turned out to be a better player than Harris. So that was a very win-win trade for me. I looked, and Michael Harris has actually been injured a little bit this season, so hasn't even been productive. A couple other players of mine had made the All-Star and had pretty decent games. Jose Altuve, not the most popular player in baseball outside of Houston because of the Astros trash can banging incident going back to 2017. Seems like nobody will forgive him or the Astros for that, but he especially has been held double accountable. And Pete Alonso, the New York Mets first baseman. The Mets have been around 500, up and down a little bit, but Alonso was the starter. So I had a couple starters on both my teams in the All-Star game, so that was kind of cool. Baseball second half, it's been a crazy week since there's no games to watch, and like literally every year, you know, when they have that home run derby contest, it's like Monday, and I'm like, what game is on tonight? And I'm like, oh yeah, All-Star break, and the rest of the league off until today, Friday, which the teams will pick back up. And looking at the standings with what's happening in Major League Baseball at this point, in the National League, the Dodgers are in first place, a 7-game cushion over the Arizona Diamondbacks, who, you know, upset them last year and advance all the way to the World Series, followed by the Padres, who are 1 game over 500, and they and the Diamondbacks are both tied 7 games back, followed by the Giants, who need to make a trade if they're going to get back into this race, and the Colorado Rockies, who are 22 games behind. I mentioned the Philadelphia Phillies, best team, best record in baseball, and a commanding 8.5-game lead currently over the Atlanta Braves. Braves are a good team. They've got 53 wins, but they're 8.5 back. The Mets, slightly above 500, are 12.5 games back. The Nationals are 18.5 back, and the Miami Marlins, nearly 30 games behind the pace. In the National League Central, that's actually where the Pittsburgh Pirates do play. They're 500, 6.5 games behind Milwaukee, who is currently leading the pace, and St. Louis, who is 4.5 games back. St. Louis has had some up-and-down moments. Pittsburgh at 500, 6.5 games back, followed by the Reds at 8 games back, and the Cubs only 8.5 games back. A pretty competitive division is the National League Central. Moving on to the American League, last weekend the Orioles and Yankees faced off. I think the Yankees took 2 out of 3, but Baltimore remains 1 game above them, and quietly, the Boston Red Sox have snuck back into relevance and high-end competition. Part of this has been the Yankees have had some injuries and have really fallen back to earth from the red-hot start. They're still in the hunt, though, at a 58-40 record. The Red Sox slightly behind them, 4.5 games back at 53-42. Tampa Bay is still 510 games back, and Toronto, 14 games back, and probably going to be making trades for next year. Right now it's a time for teams to determine if they're buyers or sellers for the next few weeks before the trade deadline happens here at the, I believe, the end of July. And that's also when the trade deadline will happen for fantasy baseball. The American League Central, Cleveland has been leading. The Guardians have been leading pretty much the full season, closely followed by the Twins at 4.5 games back. Kansas City Royals have been a big surprise. They've already picked up 52 wins this year. They are 7 games off the pace. Detroit's played solid. They're 3 games under 500 and 12 back. And the Chicago White Sox expect them to be a seller of what little they have at 32 games behind the pace. In the American League West, you know, Houston came out and stubbed their toe early. They had a lot of tough competition at the very beginning of the season, and they're They're a team that knows how to win and is focused on the long term. They're one game behind the Seattle Mariners, who seem to go out and get a lead, and we'll see if they can hold it in the second half. The Mariners lead the Astros by one game. The defending champion Rangers are four games under 500 and five games off the pace. And the other two California teams, the Angels and A's, at 10 and 15 games back, respectively. It's Fantasy Sports Friday. It's almost time to start looking at football drafts, football seasons, football keepers, and a lot of the activity that's going on with the National Football League. Basketball is kind of in the off season. The free agency period has happened. Most of the big names have signed. The draft has taken place. Not a strong draft this year, and unfortunately all the focus has been on LeBron's son, Bronny, and his struggles so far in the D-League or G-League, Summer League. He actually had his first double figures game last night. And, of course, Major League Baseball in the second half, couple more weeks of trades, and then kind of play out the season and get ready for the playoffs. We're going to take a break on Fantasy Sports Friday, and we'll be back in a moment to talk about keepers and the future coming up in the NFL Fantasy Football Leagues.
When my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. One in six kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
And let's continue Fantasy Sports Friday here on HealthyLife.net Radio as we are in the down period of American sports. The All-Star break, seemingly like the longest week in history with no actual live sporting games that seem to matter. There is the warm-up to the Olympics. If you're watching the USA, Team USA basketball team, finally starting to turn it on and get some impressive wins. They just defeated Serbia by a pretty strong margin, and had a couple close calls before that. But we're a couple weeks from training camp opening. Rookies will report, and then veterans. There will obviously be a handful of holdouts, as there always is. In the meantime, a very interesting show. The HBO network is covering the New York Football Giants on Hard Knocks, three episodes in. I just watched episode three the other day. And it's kind of focusing on the New York Giants in the off season, some of the moves they made for free agency and the draft, and has a lot with their general manager, Joe Schein, or Sheen, who is, he's an interesting guy. He could be running almost any company and not necessarily seemingly like a football guy, but the first couple episodes focused on what ended up being not so bright spot for the New York Giants, and something I kind of think they'd made up their mind before, but it led up into episode three, where the finality, and we already know what happened. Saquon Barkley, the Giants star running back for the last number of years, who last year and a lot of the other elite running backs in the NFL kind of came upon this situation where they go, you know, we're kind of being colluded against. And they had a meeting, a famous Zoom call. They had Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, then of the Raiders, Derrick Henry, then of the Titans, and Austin Eckler, then of the Chargers, and some other runners who coincidentally none seem to be back with the team that they were with last year. You know, basically, the running back used to be one of the most sought after and most valuable positions in the NFL. With the advent and rule changes that have gone more to the forward pass and the prevalence placed on offense in the National Football League, you know, the running game and the running backs just aren't as highly valued as they used to be. Add that to the fact that running back's job position is we're going to give you the ball, and we're going to have a handful of blockers for you, but quite frankly, you're probably going to be tackled by a minimum of 3 to 6 players on any play. And if you carry the ball 20 times, that's about 120 hits minimum that you're going to get throughout the game each and every week. So the wear and tear on running backs is quite phenomenal. And, you know, quite frankly, a number of running backs do come in and play pretty well, especially in their younger years. When they get past 25, 27, 28 years of age, right about the time that, you know, other players at other positions are kind of coming into their golden years contract-wise. You know, they've proven themselves, gone through the rookie contracts, and, you know, have earned a little bit of respect and maybe, you know, some notoriety and some achievements by that time. You know, very few really go on to have, you know, very long careers in the NFL. Usually, at a certain point, that's the wear and tear on the body kind of adds up. Well, last year, as I mentioned, a handful of the top running backs all got together in a Zoom call, and we're trying to kind of figure out, you know, how to handle this and what they could do. And all of them played out their contract, and seemingly all have moved on. You know, Hard Knocks focuses on the, you know, the Giants getting prepped for free agency, and general manager Joe Sheen talking to Saquon Barkley's agent. And from what I can tell, the Giants kind of drew a line in the sand and we're going to go past a certain amount. And from the live conferences from the general manager to Barkley's agent, you know, he pretty much is saying, hey, we're going to, best thing to do is let, you know, Barkley test the free agency and he's going to get an offer and then, you know, give us an opportunity to match that offer once he's gone out and test what the market is. Now, pretty much you tell somebody like that, an employee or a, you know, member of your team to go out and seek employment elsewhere, they're pretty much saying we don't really want you and we don't really want to pay what you're asking. You know, they could have easily given him the franchise tag again, the player, and most players say they don't like that because it, you know, may or may not limit them. Although the franchise tag generally is about the average of the top 4 or 5 players at position in the league get sort of what that average is. So if the top running backs are, say, making $13 million, you know, Barkley stood to make between 12 and 14-ish, which was not far from the number that, you know, the Giants wanted to offer. And it just really didn't seem like they're going the extra mile to really make the player feel like they wanted to keep him as a New York Giant. Of course, they were, general manager Sheen was kind of, you know, preying on Barkley's loyalty, but it didn't seem like he really put much of an effort to say that the Giants wanted him or wanted to keep him, or even after, you know, they let him test the free agent market, that they were willing to do much to retain him. So, of all things, Barkley, who did grow up in Pennsylvania, I believe, he played college ball at Penn State, quite a cool school, quite a big school, and he signed with the division rival Philadelphia Eagles for a 3-year, $37 million contract, and $25 million of that guaranteed. You know, during the negotiations, even owner Mr. Mara Jr., it's probably the third or fourth Mara in the Giants ownership, was kind of like, you know, I understand if we don't keep him, but I'm not going to be happy if he ends up going to a rival, especially the Philadelphia Eagles, who are not just a rival, they're they're almost neighbors. I mean, they're just right down the road on the other end of New Jersey compared to where the Giants are. So that's where Saquon Barkley ended up. And, you know, at the same time, the Giants did end up getting a couple high-end players. They got Brian Burns, a very talented up-and-coming pass rusher from the Carolina Panthers. And they get the Senior Bowl. There's a clip that Joe Sheen was talking to the Panthers' new coach, and he pretty much said, yeah, Burns is available for a, you know, first rounder plus, you know. And they ended up negotiating, and the Giants ended up getting Brian Burns, talented pass rusher, added him to their team and added a couple offensive linemen. They lost quarterback Tyrod Taylor to free agency to the crosstown rival New York Jets, who they really needed a backup quarterback with the Aaron Rodgers situation coming in. Is he going to be healthy? Maybe. Is he going to be 41 years old? Yes. Not a lot of players, not named Tom Brady or George Blanda, play past their 40s. Steve DeBerg had a career as a backup quarterback till he's 47. Rodgers coming off a major injury. A lot of talk about him playing last year, and then, you know, he missed the off-season training camp that just took place. That was a mandatory camp, and little do we know what he was done. The speculation is he was, honestly, tripping his balls off in ayahuasca in the forest. He said he had a commitment he couldn't get out of. So the Jets certainly paid a little bit more for Tyrod Taylor, and you know, you can see the Giants had their list on a handful of players. They did get two or three offensive linemen targeted, one from the Packers, John Runyon, and Emmanuel from the Las Vegas Raiders. He was their best lineman the last number of seasons. And they picked up quarterback Drew Lock to become the backup. Now, remember, the Giants have a situation. Their quarterback, Daniel Jones, they ended up paying him a lot of money, just because quarterback contracts are kind of out of control. Every time somebody comes up as a free agent, as a quarterback position, they end up being close to the highest paid player in the league. Daniel Jones, nowhere near deserving that kind of money. He's making $40 million, and he's not that great, and injured on top of it. So Drew Lock, who's young but has a little bit of promise, he has done okay in spot starting with the Seattle Seahawks and was originally drafted by the Denver Broncos and was involved in the Russell Wilson trade, that the Seahawks clearly got the best of that deal. He kind of came in and filled in for Geno Smith a couple times, and one of the games he played and did very well was against the New York Giants. So Drew Lock might be starting some games for the Giants until Daniel Jones can get back and get back to a good performance level. It's just very interesting seeing the New York Giants negotiating. I don't know. If I was a Giants fan watching Hard Knocks, I'd probably be, my confidence in the team would be shrinking a little bit. And as somebody who does, you know, watch these games and will be drafting fantasy players, I'm not sure how good the Giants are really going to do. Their number six pick in the draft that hasn't been shown yet on the HBO show Hard Knocks will be coming up in the next episode next week. Episode 4 will focus a little more on the draft. They did pick up a very talented wide receiver out of LSU. They were a little picking at number 6. They missed out on a couple of the very top-end quarterbacks, mainly Caleb Williams and also Heisman winner Jaden Daniels. I had a couple of those guys in for interviews in the second episode, and that was kind of interesting. Coach Brian Daboll quizzing these guys just to kind of test some of their abilities to think on their feet, to recall memory, and, you know, kind of find out where their head is at. As he just said, draw me up your favorite pass play and, you know, walk me through it. Just to see if you could pick one pass play and had to go with that, you know, what would it be? So that was some cool insight to see how the coaches were quizzing some of the top players while they had that opportunity. Again, the Hard Knocks show on HBO, if you have it, kind of a cool show. If you don't have it, you probably can find it on YouTube somewhere and not have to do the HBO subscription. However, if you do, you know, you can find all the other past episodes of Hard Knocks on there as well, which has been a great show. Very interesting to get insights. You can tell a lot of teams don't want to participate, because if I, a fan, could sit here and now I you know, know some, have some insight into maybe how the Giants negotiate and things like that. It was nice to see General Manager Joe Sheen after the free agent day coming home and playing a game of cards with his family and just being a dad, being somebody who has a, seemingly has a balance in their life, and not everything is 100% football and game film and negotiations. It was nice to see him having a dinner and playing the game Uno, which I've played with my family, so that was kind of nice to see. I'm Jay Cruz. It's Fantasy Sports Friday. We're going to take another break, and, well, we're going to talk about some of those players who were drafted and where you might look at them in your fantasy draft coming up this season, right after this.
Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Everybody down!
Dwayne Johnson here. The earthquakes you see in movies are one thing, but real life is a completely different animal. Just because you can't predict an earthquake doesn't mean that you can't prepare for one. In the event of a real earthquake, you should drop, cover, and hold on. Visit ready.gov/earthquake and practice what to do to keep you and your family safe in the event of a real earthquake, and you'll be seen as a hero by your family and your loved ones.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
And let's continue. Fantasy Sports Friday. For a minute, I had to remember what show I'm doing. I'm Jay Cruz. I host Fantasy Sports Friday each and every Friday. It comes on 11 a.m. Pacific time here on HealthyLife.net. There's the daily news show, the HRN News at 7. That's 7 a.m., 7 p.m. here on HealthyLife.net. And then a monthly show called Backbeat Radio, where we talk about music and popular culture. That's on once a month, first Wednesday each and every month. And sometimes, yes, I do get confused in my, what is a rapidly growing old age. Taking a look at the upcoming NFL season, got the invites into a couple of leagues that I was in last year. One is a salary cap keeper league, and the other is a keeper league where we basically do our drafts. There is a chance that the guys I've been playing in the baseball and basketball leagues for the last number of years, a well-run league, well-run, and that there's not a lot of controversy, everything's above board, and the commissioners are very fair and on top of things. They had mentioned starting a football league, too. I'm open to that, which should maybe be one more team than I really want to manage, but it would be worth my while to be involved with those folks. So coming up, I do have a got to select some keepers for both of my football teams, and one team, the salary cap team, the Snake Stablers, got a few decisions to make. I'm just going to go down the roster and kind of give you my insights. Quarterback Justin Fields, I think I paid $14 for him last year. More than likely will not be keeping him at that price. He's going to be the backup in Pittsburgh now behind Russell Wilson, and $14 is more money than I want to pay for a backup. So, plus, just not sure where he's going to be going this season. So, not going to be keeping him. Khalil Herbert, running back of Chicago Bears, kind of a not a very high contract, decent player. He's a possibility of keeping. Aaron Jones, who was with the Green Bay Packers, now with the Minnesota Vikings, not quite sure about keeping him at a high salary. Justin Watson was a wide receiver of the Kansas City Chiefs that picked up later in the season due to injuries. Not sure about keeping him. Trevor Lawrence, I got for a pretty affordable salary, and more likely will be keeping him. And that way, at least I know I'm guaranteed one good starter. The other quarterback I'll be keeping because I got him at a dirt cheap salary, kind of giving me two decent starting quarterbacks, a number one and a 1A, if you will, Brock Purdy. Think I got him cheap last year because his rookie season, don't know if a lot of people quite bought into him coming back last year, and he did quite well, helped lead the team to the Super Bowl, and if they were playing another team besides the Chiefs, they could be the defending champions. Tutu Atwell, wide receiver of the LA Rams, not going to be keeping him. He was a late season addition and is probably going to be struggling to get playing time again this year. Going into his second year, tight end Michael Meyer of the Las Vegas Raiders is a possibility. Just because I think there will be improvement this year. He kind of struggled and took him a while to get going last year. I think the Raiders, with their selection of the other tight end out of Georgia, are going to be quite a formidable double tight end in attack this year, and Meyer might end up with a bit of an upside. Definitely slot him in as a tight end too. Mentioned Brock Purdy, keeping him, got him at a dirt cheap price. Brian Robinson, tough running back with Washington. I think Washington improves this year because I think the Giants are going to take a big step back. Plan on keeping him. Davante Adams, wide receiver of the Raiders. Of course, there's lots of rumors because in the Netflix series Receivers, there's an episode where he's seen complaining about Jimmy Garoppolo, which is quite old news. That was before Garoppolo was benched last year. And, you know, Adams has been, you know, even Raider fan sites, just to get clickbait, have linked him to almost every kind of trade possibility out there. Only problem with keeping Adams, I did pay a high salary for him, a little over $40. T. Higgins of Cincinnati, definitely worth keeping. Got a fairly high salary with him, but this year should be better with quarterback Joe Burrow playing a full season. James Conner, former running back of the Steelers, currently with Arizona, had him at a decent price and a pretty good running back. He's probably going to be a keeper. Joe Mixon, very good running back, was with Cincinnati. He's been traded to Houston. Houston's loading up a lot to make a run this year, and they might just get there. They came on a little early last year and did make the playoffs. DK Metcalf with Seattle probably will be keeping him. Now, tight end Darren Waller, not really an option to keep him. He has retired from the game of football. A guy who was very talented. Of course, he had some off-the-field issues. He took care of those, mainly with some substance abuse. Turned his life around and played a couple great seasons. Was able to get a nice big contract, but the injuries keep adding up. He has retired from the National Football League. Jacksonville running back Travis Etienne. Paid a lot of money for him, but not prohibitive amount. I will be keeping him as well. He's a very big component in Jacksonville's offense. And I might keep quarterback number three, Aiden O'Connell. Not sure if he wins the starting position in Las Vegas. He'll be competing with Gardner Minshew III. And pretty much two number two quarterbacks going at it. Although O'Connell grew a lot last year. He changed his number from number four to quit looking so much like Derek Carr. Now he's got to worry about being compared to Kenny Stabler and Rich Gannon. A couple other quarterbacks and Raider history, as the Raiders historically do not retire jersey numbers. If they did, number 12 would certainly be off the shelf. And this league also has individual defensive players, which, ironically, I got some great players, and I got them all fairly cheap. Derwin James, safety with the Chargers, heck of a player, and I look for the Chargers to improve this year with Coach Jim Harbaugh. Micah Parsons, one of the most valuable defensive players in the league, linebacker and pass rusher. He's listed as a linebacker defensive end, so there's position versatility with him of the Dallas Cowboys, and I think he's coming up to a contract here, so he's going to be playing hard, either get paid by Jerry Jones and the Cowboys or someone else. Max Crosby, talk about a player who turned his life around during the pandemic. He decided, yeah, I think I'm going to give up this drinking stuff and has really been focused, one of the hardest working players in the National League, and certainly one of the best pass rushers. And the Raiders added Gerald Wilkins, interior lineman from Miami. They got him in a big free agent package, giving the Raiders a couple excellent pass rushers, which should help their defense, which played very good in the second half of the year. You know, I was critical of Patrick Graham when Josh McDaniels was the coach, but once Antonio Pierce took over and the Raiders just locker room seemed to change and everyone wanted just to at least compete, their defense was really one of the best in the second half last year. New York Jets defensive back Sauce Gardner, while he doesn't put up a lot of numbers because people throw to the other side of the field from him, I've got him at cornerback. Joey Bosa with the Chargers and safety with the 49ers, who was knocked out due to injury last year, Talona Hufanga, who was playing great until his injury last year. So the defensive guys I might keep just so I don't have to really reinvestigate the defensive side of the ball. Someone I had in the past, Aaron Donald, he has since retired from football, member of the LA Rams, who played 10 or 12 solid years and figured, I've done it all. Won number of MVPs, highest defensive player in the league, and Super Bowl champion. So what else do I have left to prove? So I'll be turning in those keepers fairly soon and kind of getting ready to look at what I don't have and look what's available in the rookie draft and other free agents not kept by other owners. Fantasy Sports Friday, I'm Jay Cruz. We're going to take a quick break and come back to wrap up today's show.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
And let's continue and get close to wrapping up Fantasy Sports Friday for today, the 19th of July. We're a couple weeks from NFL training camps opening, so we're a couple weeks from NFL fantasy football being ready to draft. I have a deadline for my other fantasy team, the Fender Jags. I call them the Jags because I end up taking over a team last year in this league, and one of the keepers I had was quarterback Trevor Lawrence of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I play Jaguar Fender Jaguar bass, henceforth the name. So we're allowed to keep up to 5 players, and this is not a salary cap league. It's a keeper league in which we will be drafting in what's known as a snake draft. Last place to first place in round 1, and then first place to last place in round 2. Although I have a slight issue with that. I think if you're in last place, you should draft at the top of the draft each and every season for competitive balance. But why complicate things and confuse people who maybe don't get that concept? I will say one thing. Folks playing the fantasy baseball games compared to the fantasy football games, baseball's the sport followed by smarter people. I'm just going to leave it at that. So, the roster from last year on this particular team, I can keep up to 5 players on the roster at the end of last year. Quarterback Geno Smith as a backup, pretty decent backup, but more than likely won't be keeping him. DK Metcalf, wide receiver of the Seahawks, good wide receiver, possibly a keeper. Brandon Ayuk, someone I definitely want to keep, although his situation is a little murky right now. There's been rumors of him all offseason. Just this week, he officially requested a trade. 49ers say they have no interest in trading him. He wants to be paid as one of the top wide receivers. He's still making very good money this year, but not quite the elite money like Tyreek Hill. In fact, Tyreek Hill will probably be renegotiating soon. He signed a massive deal a couple years ago to come to Miami. And since then, as you know, almost every position, once somebody sets the bar, the agent goes ahead and gets more money for his client in the next signing. Currently, Jefferson of the Vikings, the highest paid wide receiver. I'm sure Tyreek Hill is not happy about that. But he's someone I plan on keeping. That guy is open every play. He's about the fastest guy in the league. Joe Mixon, I had him on both of my teams. Now he's with Houston. There's a probability of keeping him. Brian Robinson Jr. of Washington on both of my teams. Solid runner and someone I'm interested in keeping. Now, Travis Kelce, also on this team. He's a little older, and he's still the top receiver and number one target for Patrick Mahomes. So it stands to reason he'd be someone I might be keeping on this team, of which I can keep up to five. So at this point, I'm pretty sold on Tyreek Hill. Definite maybe on Brandon Ayuk, and probably with Travis Kelce. Jacoby Myers made a lot of plays for Las Vegas last year. Just a numbers game, especially a wide receiver. Don't know if I'll be keeping him. Miami Dolphins running back Raheem Mostert, he had a great season last year, put up a lot of good numbers. Someone worthy of keeping, although his past injury history is something that kind of is in the back of my mind. Although last year he played pretty safe and, you know, made it through the whole season pretty healthy. So he is sort of on the bubble. Trevor Lawrence at quarterback, a probable keeper here, just to know I have a very good quarterback on the team and can improve with any number of backups or some of the highly touted rookies like Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. There's May with the Patriots now. Bo Nix might have a promising career in Denver with quarterback guru Sean Payton, although it's going to be hard to root for a Denver Bronco in that capacity. I have Bryce Young, although I don't know if I'll be keeping him. He's the Carolina Panthers' number one pick from last year. Michael Meyer, also on both of my teams. Tight end for Las Vegas. I expect some big improvement from him this season, although if I'm keeping Travis Kelce, Meyer is clearly a number two, and I can certainly pick him up later in the year. And I wouldn't mind picking up his teammate, the rookie out of Georgia, Bollinger, who was drafted at the number 13 spot by the Raiders. Gabe Davis, former number two receiver with the Buffalo Bills, is now a receiver with the Jacksonville Jaguars. More than likely won't be keeping him due to a numbers game, especially at that position. And Steelers tight end Pat Freiermuth, again, if I'm going to keep Travis Kelce, no need to keep a second and even third string tight end in this case. Freiermuth had an injury or two last year, missed a handful of games, probably picked him up and added him because Myers wasn't quite up to speed in some situations last year. And then my team defense, more than likely, will be keeping them. And that's the San Francisco 49ers team defense. Now, when you go, you know, why would you keep a team defense when you have all these other, you know, individual players? Well, the bottom line is, in this particular league, the team defense, the Niners got me almost 1,500 points, where, let's look at a couple of the top quarterbacks, like Geno Smith scored 849, the number one tight end Travis Kelce, 264 points. In fact, Jacoby Myers not too far from him, and Trevor Lawrence had a pretty good outing as quarterback at 946 total points. So, again, with Trevor Lawrence being in the, I'd say maybe bottom of the top tier or top of tier number two when it comes to quarterbacks, you know, around the 10th or 11th quarterback in the league, getting that many points, that's still another 500 over the overall season with a team defense like the 49ers. Now, the defense is a little older. They have made some changes, but they're a very consistent defense and has kept the 49ers at or near the top of the standings and in the playoffs for the last number of years. I don't think they'll take a big step back. In fact, new defensive coordinator and a premium on improving what defense that had some holes at times last year, but still made big plays and won a lot of games. Just at some point, somebody had to be the scapegoat with Patrick Mahomes slicing up that defense, and it turned out Steve Wilks, who came over from Carolina after being their defensive coordinator and then interim coach, was the guy deemed to be the scapegoat. So probably will be keeping the 49ers defense. Nonetheless, I need to make my decisions in the next week or so, at least on this team, before August 4th. Now, the only drawback to that is that anything can happen once training camp opens. I mean, last year I had Travis Kelce, And, you know, he was injured game number one. So that was a game he didn't get to play. And then, of course, you know, it took him a while to play back into shape. But he turned out to be, you know, again, Patrick Mahomes' number one receiver. That's going to do it for Fantasy Sports Friday today. If you want to contact me, have a question, want me to look at your team, or if you have a difference of opinion and you want to get my opinion on some players, you can always reach me here at the station, and you can always hit me by email at jcruzmedia, J-A-Y-C-R-U-Z-M-E-D-I-A, jcruzmedia@yahoo.com. I'm also on social media. Don't have a page for Fantasy Sports Friday, but you can find J. Cruz Media or Backbeat Radio Show. That's my music show, also done here at healthylife.net. We're out of time. Hopefully you have a great weekend. Hopefully you're getting ready for your NFL draft. We'll be looking closer at all the positions and some of the camp battles coming up in the next few weeks. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next Friday.